I saw then in my dream that he went on thus, even until he came at the bottom, where he saw, a little out of the way, three men fast asleep, with fetters upon their heels. The name of the one was Simple, another Sloth, and the third Presumption. Christian, in seeing them lie in this case, went to them, if peradventure he might awake them, and cried, "You are like them that sleep on the top of a mast, for the Dead Sea is under you, and a gulf that hath no bottom. Awake, therefore, and come away. Be willing also, and I will help you off with your irons." He also told them, "If he that goeth about like a roaring lion comes by, you will certainly become a prey to his teeth." With that they looked upon him, and began to reply in this sort. Simple, said he, "I see no danger." Sloth said, "Yet a little more sleep." And Presumption said, "Every tub must stand upon his own bottom." And so they lay down to sleep again, and Christian went on his way. Yet was he troubled to think that men in that danger should so little esteem the kindness of him that so freely offered to help them, both by the awakening of them, counselling of them, and proffering to help them off with their irons. And as he was troubled thereabout, he espied two men come tumbling over the wall, on the left hand of the narrow way, and they made up a pace to him. The name of the one was Formalist, and the name of the other Hypocrisy. So, as I said, they drew up unto him, who thus entered with them into discourse. "Gentlemen, whence came you, and whither do you go?" "We were born in the land of vain glory, and are going for praise to Mount Zion." "Why came you not in at the gate which standeth at the beginning of the way? Know ye not that it is written, that he that cometh not in by the door, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber?" They said that to go to the gate for entrance was by all their countrymen counted too far about, and that therefore their usual way was to make a short cut of it, and to climb over the wall as they had done. "But will it not be counted a trespass against the lord of the city, whither we are bound thus to violate his revealed will?" They told him that as for that, he needed not to trouble his head thereabout, for what they did they had custom for, and could produce, if need were, testimony that would witness it for more than 1,000 years. "But," said Christian, "will your practice stand a trial at law?" They told him that custom, it being of so long standing as above 1,000 years, would doubtless now be admitted as a thing legal by an impartial judge. "And besides," said they, "if we get into the way, what's matter which way we get in? If we are in, we are in. Thou art but in the way, who, as we perceive, came in at the gate, and we are also in the way that came tumbling over the wall, wherein now is thy condition better than ours. I walk by the rule of my master. You walk by the rude working of your fancies. You are counted thieves already by the lord of the way. Therefore I doubt you will not be found true men at the end of the way. You come in by yourselves without his direction, and shall go out by yourselves without his mercy." To this they made but little answer, only they bid him look to himself. Then I saw that they went on every man in his way, without much conference one with another, save that these two men told Christian that as to laws and ordinances, they doubted not but they should conscientiously do them as he. "Therefore," said they, "we see not wherein thou differest from us, but by the coat that is on thy back, which was, as we trow, given thee by some of thy neighbours to hide the shame of thy nakedness. By laws and ordinances you will not be saved, since you came not in by the door. And as for this coat that is on my back, it was given me by the lord of the place whither I go, and that, as you say, to cover my nakedness with. And I take it as a token of his kindness to me, for I had nothing but rags before, and besides, thus I comfort myself as I go. Surely, think I, when I come to the gate of the city, the lord thereof will know me for good, since I have his coat on my back, a coat that he gave me freely in the day that he stripped me of my rags. I have, moreover, a mark in my forehead, of which perhaps ye have taken no notice, which one of my lord's most intimate associates fixed there in the day that my burden fell off my shoulders. I will tell you, moreover, that I had then given me a roll sealed to comfort me by reading as I go on the way. I was also bid to give it in at the celestial gate, in token of my certain going in after it. All which things I doubt you want, and want them, because ye came not in at the gate. To these things they gave him no answer, only they looked upon each other and laughed. Then I saw that they went on all, save that Christian kept before, who had no more talk but with himself, and that sometimes sighingly, and sometimes comfortably. Also he would be often reading in the roll that one of the shining ones gave him, by which he was refreshed. I beheld then that they all went on till they came to the foot of the hill Difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. There were also in the same place two other ways, besides that which came straight from the gate. One turned to the left hand, and the other to the right at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow way lay right up on the hill, and the name of the going up the side of the hill is called Difficulty. Christian now went to the spring and drank thereof to refresh himself, and then began to go up the hill, saying, "This hill, though high, I covet to ascend. The difficulty will not me offend, for I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up heart, let's neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe." The other two also came to the foot of the hill. But when they saw that the hill was steep and high, and that there were two other ways to go, and supposing also that these two ways might meet again with that up which Christian went on the other side of the hill, therefore they were resolved to go in those ways. Now the name of one of those ways was Danger, and the name of the other Destruction. So the one took the way which is called Danger, which led him into a great wood, and the other took directly up the way to Destruction, which led him into a wide field full of dark mountains, where he stumbled and fell and rose no more. I looked then after Christian to see him go up the hill, where I perceived he fell from running to going, and from going to clambering upon his hands and his knees, because of the steepness of the place. Now about the midway to the top of the hill was a pleasant arbour, made by the Lord of the hill for the refreshment of weary travellers. Thither therefore Christian got, where also he sat down to rest him. Then he pulled his roll out of his bosom, and read therein to his comfort. He also now began afresh to take a review of the coat or garments that was given him as he stood by the cross. Thus pleasing himself a while, he at last fell into a slumber, and thence into a fast sleep, which detained him in that place until it was almost night, and in his sleep his roll fell out of his hand. Now as he was sleeping, there came one to him and awaked him, saying, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise." And with that Christian suddenly started up and sped him on his way, and went apace till he came to the top of the hill. Now when he was got to the top of the hill, there came two men running against him amain. The name of the one was Timorous, and of the other Mistrust, to whom Christian said, "Sirs, what's the matter, you run the wrong way?" Timorous answered that they were going to the city of Zion, and had got up that difficult place. But said he, the farther we go, the more danger we meet with, wherefore we turned and are going back. "Yes," said Mistrust, "for just before us lies a couple of lions in the way, whether sleeping or waking we know not, and we could not think if we came within reach but they would presently pull us in pieces." Then said Christian, "You make me afraid, but whither shall I fly to be safe? If I go back to mine own country that is prepared for fire and brimstone, I shall certainly perish there. If I can get to the celestial city, I am sure to be safe in safety there. I must venture. To go back is nothing but death. To go forward is fear of death and life everlasting beyond it. I will yet go forward. So Mistrust and Timorous ran down the hill, and Christian went on his way. But thinking again of what he had heard from the men, he felt in his bosom for his role, that he might read therein and be comforted. But he felt and found it not. Then was Christian in great distress, and knew not what to do, for he wanted that which used to relieve him, and that which should have been his pass into the celestial city. Here therefore he began to be much perplexed, and knew not what to do. At last he bethought himself that he had slept in the arbour that is on the side of the hill, and falling down upon his knees, he asked God forgiveness for that his foolish act, and then went back to look for his roll. But all the way he went back, who can sufficiently set forth the sorrow of Christian's heart? Sometimes he sighed, sometimes he wept, and oftentimes he chid himself for being so foolish to fall asleep in that place, which was erected only for a little refreshment from his weariness. Thus, therefore, he went back, carefully looking on this side and on that, all the way as he went, if happily he might find the roll that had been his comfort so many times in his journey. He went thus till he came again in sight of the arbour, where he sat and slept. But that sight renewed his sorrow the more, by bringing again, even afresh, his evil of sleeping into his mind. Thus, therefore, he now went on, bewailing his sinful sleep, saying, O wretched man that I am, that I should sleep in the daytime, that I should sleep in the midst of difficulty, that I should so indulge the flesh, as to use that rest for ease to my flesh, which the Lord of the hill hath erected only for the relief of the spirit of pilgrims. How many steps have I took in vain? Thus it happens to Israel, for their sin they were sent back again by the way of the Red Sea. And I am made to tread those steps with sorrow, which I might have trod with delight, had it not been for this sinful sleep. How far might I have been on my way by this time? I am made to tread those steps thrice over, which I needed not to have trod but once. Yea, now also I am like to be benighted, for the day is almost spent. Oh, that I had not slept! Now by this time he was come to the arbour again, where for a while he sat down and wept. But at last, as Christian would have it, looking sorrowfully down upon the settle, there he espied his roll, the which he with trembling and haste catched up and put into his bosom. But who can tell how joyful this man was when he had gotten his roll again? For this roll was the assurance of his life, an acceptance at the desired haven. Therefore he laid it up in his bosom, gave thanks to God for directing his eyes to the place where it lay, and with joy and tears betook himself again to his journey. But, oh, how nimbly now did he go up the rest of the hill! Yet before he got up, the sun went down upon Christian, and this made him again recall the vanity of his sleeping to his remembrance. And thus he again began to condole with himself. O thou sinful sleep! How for thy sake am I like to be benighted in my journey? I must walk without the sun, darkness must cover the path of my feet, and I must hear the noise of doleful creatures because of my sinful sleep. Now also he remembered the story that Mistrust and Timorous told him of, how they were frighted with the sight of the lions. Then said Christian to himself again, These beasts range in the night for their prey, and if they should meet with me in the dark, how should I shift them? How should I escape being by them torn in pieces? Thus he went on his way, but while he was thus bewailing his unhappy miscarriage, he lift up his eyes, and behold, there was a very stately palace before him, the name of which was Beautiful, and it stood just by the highway side. So I saw in my dream that he made haste and went forward, that if possible he might get lodging there. Now before he had gone far, he entered into a very narrow passage, which was about a furlong off the porter's lodge. And looking very narrowly before him as he went, he spied two lions in the way. Now, thought he, I see the dangers that mistrust and timorous were driven back by. The lions were chained, but he saw not the chains. Then he was afraid, and thought also himself to go back after them, for he thought nothing but death was before him. But the porter at the lodge, whose name is Watchful, perceiving that Christian made a halt, as if he would go back, cried unto him, saying, Is thy strength so small? Fear not the lions, for they are chained, and are placed there for trial of faith, where it is, and for discovery of those that have none. Keep in the midst of the path, and no hurt shall come unto thee. Then I saw that he went on trembling for fear of the lions. But taking good heed to the directions of the porter, he heard them roar, but they did him no harm. Then he clapped his hands, and went on, till he came and stood before the gate where the porter was. Then said Christian to the porter, Sir, what house is this, and may I lodge here tonight? The porter answered, This house was built by the Lord of the Hill, and he built it for the relief and security of pilgrims. The porter also asked whence he was, and whither he was going. I am come from the city of destruction, and am going to Mount Zion. But because the sun is now set, I desire, if I may, to lodge here tonight. What is your name? My name is now Christian, but my name at the first was Graceless. I came of the race of Japheth, whom God will persuade to dwell in the tents of Shem. But how doth it happen that you come so late? The sun is set. I had been here sooner, but that, wretched man that I am, I slept in the arbour that stands on the hillside. Nay, I had, notwithstanding that, been here much sooner, but that in my sleep I lost my evidence, and came without it to the brow of the hill, and then feeling for it and finding it not, I was forced, with sorrow of heart, to go back to the place where I slept my sleep, where I found it, and now I am come. Well, I will call at one of the virgins of this place, who will, if she likes your talk, bring you into the rest of the family, according to the rules of the house. So Watchful, the porter, rang a bell, at the sound of which came out of the door of the house a grave and beautiful damsel named Discretion, and asked why she was called. The porter answered, This man is in a journey from the city of destruction to Mount Zion, but being weary and benighted, he asked me if he might lodge here tonight. So I told him I would call for thee, who, after discourse had with him, mayest do as seemeth thee good, even according to the law of the house. And then she asked him whence he was and whether he was going, and he told her. She asked him also how he got into the way, and he told her. Then she asked him what he had seen and met with in the way, and he told her. And at last she asked his name. So he said, It is Christian, and I have so much the more a desire to lodge here tonight, because by what I perceive this place was built by the Lord of the Hill for the relief and security of pilgrims. So she smiled, but the water stood in her eyes. With Christian now freed from his burden, stripped of his old rags and newly clothed, he takes his role and continues his journey to the celestial city. He is now a new man, but still much lay ahead of him. Conversion to Jesus Christ means that Christians are new creatures in Jesus Christ. And just as with this pilgrim, so we are clothed in the righteousness of our Saviour and armed with many precious promises, but the journey ahead must still be travelled. It is not too long until he meets with those who are very clearly different from him, whether it was in the form of simple sloth and presumption, or later on in the form of formalist and hypocrisy. Christian discovers that not all appear to be going his way are actually like him, especially in the case of formalist and hypocrisy. Not only have they not gone through the gate, but they have come around another way. Their reasoning is like the reasoning of many in this world today. Well, so long as we are all going to the same place, does it matter which way we come? However, God and his word makes it abundantly clear that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. There is no going to the Father but through and by him. The hill called difficulty soon sifts these men from Christian. And so often the trials in life act as a way of revealing whether the grace of God has effected a change in us or not. For Christian, after ascending the hill, he found a pleasant place of rest, which was intended for spiritual rest. However, his rest soon turned to slumber, and in the process his roll fell from his hand. Once woken up and rebuked for his sluggardness, he quickly makes his way, meeting with timorous and mistrust. Despite their own fearful words, he continues still, but he does dwell upon their words. Searching for his roll to find comfort at such times, he realizes that it has been dropped. He has to make his way back. All of this means he's lost time, and the night is fast approaching. Bunyan draws our attention to Christian's lament at this time. The roll represented assurance of life, and it is a timely lesson that so often through our sluggardness, we can fall quickly away from the comforts and joys of God's salvation. Yet in repenting and seeking again, God is pleased to restore such to us. Back on his journey, the pilgrim spies the Palace Beautiful, and it is here Christian must now turn aside for rest.